Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being here with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Maybe it's Wednesday evening where you are, or even Thursday morning. Whatever it is, we're just happy you're here with us. Two great hours of programming today. Second hour, we got Carlo with us, and we're going to talk about purgatory. We're going to get real about purgatory, the reality of purgatory, any purgatory questions. If you are among our Christian brothers and sisters who say, no, there's no evidence for that, and I'm not buying it, well, the perfect hour for you to pick up the phone and call us. We'd love to hear from you. As a matter of fact, anybody can call anytime. First hour, our very good friend, Dr. Greg Popchak, here with us, has a brand new book out, came out just this November, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. Dr. Greg Popchak, thanks for being with us.
It is my pleasure.
Most people, most people know you from, but I don't know where people know you from because you have all these different lives. You're the founder of the and still the executive director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute. So you're doing all this real world counseling and stuff. Then you got the book publishing world, and then you got the radio program More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
Popchak Omnimedia.
Ah, yeah. Yes. You're your own media world, aren't you? I didn't even think about that.
My own empire. No, yeah. People can tune in to More to Life that airs 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. They could check me out at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the telecounseling practice and books wherever books are sold. So, yeah, they might know me. But if they don't, now they do.
Now they can just call Catholic Answers, too. Like, at this moment, call Catholic Answers if you want to talk to Greg Popchak. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. All right, so you have, first of all, more than 20 books, but many of your beloved books are either, I'm not going to say either, but they're marriage-type books. They're very helpful, practical. I remember the one with the, I think it's the 7% of people who are really happy in their marriage. You kind of do a book about how to imitate them and that kind of thing. This one about something different. And is it because your state in life is changing and now your kids are adults? Or what moved you to the how parents can talk to adult children?
Among Us Press asked Lisa and I to do this book. And we do actually happen to have adult children who have gotten married and had kids in the last year. So that's fun. We have a lot of parenting books as well. So we actually now have Catholic parenting books all the way from infancy through adulthood. So and every stage in between. So there's then comes baby, which covers the first 3 years. And then we have parenting your kids with grace, which is birth to 11. And then parenting your teens and tweens with grace, 11 to 18. And now having meaningful and sometimes difficult conversations with your adult sons and daughters, which is not just about having those conversations. It's really a parenting book for parents of adult kids. You know, how do we have healthy relationships with our adult kids? How can we have influence in our adult kids' lives? How can we continue to disciple and mentor our adult kids in living Christian values in their adulthood? So, I mean, you know, those are all tough topics. And we also talk about how to address concerns that you've got, whether that's about parenting or lifestyle choices that your kids are making or any of those sorts of things. Again, you know, it's very difficult to have those sorts of discussions with adult children. The book kind of goes into how we can open those doors and really build relationship with our adult kids in ways that make them want to open up to us as opposed to kind of make them run for the hills.
That I'm really looking forward to because I wonder sometimes why it can become stilted sometimes in the conversations with adult children. I mean, here's my strategy that I just recently employed over the Christmas break. I invited my son to come fishing with me at the Colorado River, which is a 5-hour drive. And I figured 5 hours, something's going to happen. I didn't know how I was going to make it happen, but I figured something's going to happen. And it kind of did.
That's actually one of the things. Conversations take time. Creating points of connection like that. Yeah. Whether it's a one-off experience like you were just describing, or even better, We talk about how to create rituals with your adult kids. And, you know, that's easier, obviously, when they're nearby. But even if they're across the country, you know, now because of things like Zoom or Skype or other, you know, social media things, there are even rituals you can create across the miles that allow you to stay in touch with your kids in lots of different ways. But, you know, the main, I think the main theme of the book, if you will, spoiler alert, is that a lot of times we try to have these meaningful and difficult conversations with our adult kids. And those conversations are too deep for the relationship that we have. That in order for a conversation to be successful with anybody, but especially with our adult kids, the relationship has to be deep enough to contain the conversation. So think of it this way, right? Imagine you got a gallon jug of milk, right? And you got a shot glass. And you're going to try to pour that gallon jug of milk into the shot glass.
Yeah.
And you make it, you got a mess because it pours all this. So then what we have a tendency to do is think, well, you know what? Maybe my pour was just wrong. I need to pour a little slower next time. And then but I still end up with a mess. And I think, well, maybe I should pour it all out at once. And then I end up with a big mess. And then I think, well, maybe I should spin around three times and pour it out backwards. And that's going to work. And people, we keep looking for techniques for having better conversations with their kids. They keep looking for communication techniques when the real problem is the glass is just too shallow to hold the conversation you want to have. So what you did with the example that you gave, you created a space in your relationship to contain more conversation. And it deepened it because by creating that environment where they could, that conversation could happen. And that's what the book really talks about, how to do that, not just in one-offs, but overall, how to make the relationship deep enough to hold whatever conversation you want to have. Because what you're going to find is that the depth of the conversation, if the depth of the conversation is deeper than the relationship, you get resistance and pushback. But if the depth of the questions equal or greater than the relationship, then you get openness.
Got it. That's very, very helpful. By the way, 888-318-7884 if you want to ask Dr. Popchak questions about having those difficult conversations with your adult children. 888-318-7884. Your call is very, very welcome. As I looked through the kind of the way you organized the material, and I see that it's a gardening metaphor, I'm both happy and daunted by that, because I think, oh, well, gardening takes a long time.
Yeah.
So I hate to admit that occurred to me, but I wanted, like, give me the 5 minute. But no, that's
right. Well, and look, I mean, anybody who knows me knows how ironic it is that I use the gardening metaphor, because I kill everything I touch when it comes to that. But I'm not the most patient gardener. You know, and so I was kind of making fun of myself as I was writing the book, because I give this example I use a metaphor where let's say you go to the gardening center and you buy a tree, right? And you just want to be able to prop the tree up against your house and have it start producing fruit. But no, you got to dig a hole. And you got to dig a hole that's big enough not just to contain the tree, but actually to let the roots spread out a little bit. Otherwise, you know, the tree gets suffocated. Well, the same thing's true about our relationships with adult kids. We've got to make sure that the tree is the conversation, right? And a lot of times we just want to go have the conversation. Tell me how to have the conversation. Give me technique. Give me some communication techniques that will help them open up to my conversation. And then people get frustrated with us when we say, well, first you got to dig a hole. What do you mean dig a hole?
That's the way I felt.
Have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, exactly, right? But when you don't dig the hole, the tree dies. Or if you use them and you don't get a big enough glass, then you just end up with a mess. So you've got to start by looking at, how do I cultivate this relationship so that whatever I have to say, you know, will be received well. And the extra frustrating thing, and I apologize if I'm monologuing here, but the extra frustrating thing for a lot of parents is we feel like, I put 20 years into this relationship. I put 30 years into this. I put 40 years into this relationship. What do you mean cultivate the relationship? What do you mean dig another hole? I've been digging a hole for 40 years, for crying out loud.
Man,
why
you
can't
read
I
my
just
mind.
Say what I need to say, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's because that at each stage of development, we have to kind of dig the hole a little deeper. And so a lot of times what parents will do is they try to have conversations, you know, that require a much bigger hole with a hole that they dug when their kids were littler. You know, so, you know, I could have those conversations with my kid when they were in junior high or high school or maybe even college. But now, you know, there's a whole other series of stuff that's a whole lot deeper. And maybe our relationship hasn't gone that way.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't jump from just talking about the weather and current events to I need you to stop living with your girlfriend. You know, it's too big a leap.
Yeah.
And so when parents try to do that, because we assume that we have that depth of relationship, our adult kids push back because we haven't expressed that level of interest in anything else that they're doing in their life.
Oh.
Why are we doing this here? Well, because you don't like it. That's why. So the only reason you're investing in my life is because you don't like it. You know, and so they get defensive, you know.
I hate when you tell the truth like that. You're always doing that.
Yeah, right?
Like,
it sucks,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
All right. I got to take a break to recover from that session. But your questions are welcome. If you got questions about having those difficult conversations with the adult kids, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Are you ready to spread your wings? Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with exclusive news, program information, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. To sign up, go to EWTN.com, click subscribe, enter your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. Get your wings today. It's the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest, Dr. Greg Popcheck, with his wife, Lisa, hosts More to Life mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. That, the name of that show, More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, makes me so nervous about when you retire, because the next person that comes in, it's going to seem weird that it's called More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, and they're the host.
I'm having like full body masks produced so they can just, you know, wear a costume.
Like a Mission Impossible.
Like that, or either that or a mask, like a Disney mascot costume. We haven't figured it out yet, but we're going to go with one way or the other. I think they'll both work.
The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You mentioned a moral thing. You're living with your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one. But the other one is the religious one, and that maybe it's just because we're Catholic Answers, but people often will, like, as a matter of fact, one of the most, I ask this at local Catholic radio stations all the time. Do you ask people if they want you to pray for them? And they say, yeah. What do they want you to pray for? It's always,
my kids return to the faith.
95% of the call at request for prayers is that my children will return to the faith. So under all of all the conversation, and you didn't go into in this, but here's how to talk about politics, here's how to talk about religion. You gave, you know, more general, this is how to have these conversations and to create the ground for these conversations to grow. But all right.
Well, but I do give examples.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think it's important to start from first principles and say, you know, in general, here are the ideas for how to have those difficult conversations. And then we give a lot of different case examples of, you know, here's how so-and-so had the conversation about religion. Here's how they had the conversation about cohabitation. Here's how they had the conversation about parenting choices. Here's, you know,
right.
So here's how they had the conversation about finances or irresponsibility. So, you know, we give lots of examples about how to apply those principles to different situations. But, you know, the good thing is there, if you kind of learn these first principles, then you're able to use them for all the conversations you want to have with your adult kids.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. So you can have that one, that one thing that you're... I sometimes feel like as parents, we're like circling them. Like, I'm waiting for my opportunity to say the thing I've got to say. Maybe that's part of the problem, too, is they feel like we're circling them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and one of the points I make in the book is, you know, and we don't mean to do this as parents. We don't. But sometimes we turn our kids into projects
yes.
by accident.
Yeah.
And, you know, the theology, St. John Paul's Theology of the Body talks about how people, you know, have a right to be treated and loved as persons, not used as things or treated as things. And when we turn somebody into a project, we accidentally thingify them. And so they get defensive. There's a, you know, God kind of built into the into us this sense that, hey, I'm not being treated like a full human being here. And so we push back to protect ourselves. And unfortunately, you know, when we forget that our adult kids are actually people and they deserve to be treated as whole persons, and we end up accidentally treating them as projects because we become so obsessed with this one thing that they're doing wrong or the many things that they're doing wrong that the whole relationship becomes characterized by that. And then we get all kinds of defensiveness. So we think that, well, you know, I'm just not speaking loudly enough or I haven't said it often enough. So I need to, you know, I need to try again.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and I keep doing the same thing over and over and over and only more and more and more and expecting to get a different result. We all know what that ends up doing.
Why did I start again? I said just a few minutes ago, I hate when you tell the truth on these things. And then I started up again and you said exactly the stuff I do. All right. I'm going to let somebody else have the truth revealed about their parenting. Ron in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Gregory Popcheck.
So, Dr. Greg, my question is, I have four children ranging from 16 to 32. And, my oldest son, who's 30 years old, just refuses to talk to us whatsoever.
How long has that been the case?
With the other three, but...
When did that happen, and what was the trigger for it? Do you know?
It happened a year ago, and I think the trigger was that he canceled out on coming over for Thanksgiving last year, and my wife was rather upset because he canceled that morning. And... he's had a habit or a history of not showing up to family functions in the past 3 years. Otherwise, we had a great relationship prior to that.
I guess I'm wondering, so when you say that in the past 3 years he had a history of not showing up for family functions, I mean, what changed there? Why did he stop coming?
One of the things is he got married, and I think that may have had something to do with it, because... Since they've been married, he's been a little bit distant and hasn't seen his 16-year-old sister in almost a year.
That's really painful. Was there any conflict with your daughter-in-law or anything like that, or any issues around the wedding? Maybe
nothing significant. We actually purchased your book, Dealing with Difficult People, and provided them a copy, we read a copy, and basically got, no thank you, we're not interested in talking to you.
So no idea at all whatsoever with, and will they speak with your wife?
No.
And they've shut out your daughter as well?
My daughter, well, she lives with us and very rarely talks to the other two siblings.
So, I guess the first thing would be, I don't know, how often do you try to reach out to them at all? Do you text them on any kind of basis, and what kind of response, if any, do you get there? Or do they tell you not to text them? Do they just ignore it?
If we text them, they tell us, you know, we get some trite answer, no thank you, not interested. Sent them a letter right before Christmas saying, you know, we apologize for hurting you or whatever you've done, but we've done. But every time we try to reach out to you, it doesn't seem like it's sufficient enough. And I don't know, we're at a loss. We just can't figure out where to go from here.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, unless we can find some way to get you some new information, it's hard to know how to move forward. But what I would suggest is taking the long view on this. I would say that you want to start by just but texting regularly, you know, just chatty things. You know, keep it superficial, keep it light. So, you know, I was thinking about you. I saw this, you know, pass it along. I thought about you and I was praying for thus and such. You know, we're thinking about you. You know, how's this going? You know, just let them know that you're not going away. No, don't pester them, you know, 20 times a day or something. But even if it's you know, a couple of times a week, you're just keeping up some sort of contact, even if they ignore you, putting it in, you know, just keeping it in there. If you have somebody who they do talk to, who's in the family, you know, trying to use that conduit a little bit to get some information, you know, have that person, you know, ask, you know, what is it, what, you know, what's your beef with mom and dad, you know, being able to go that route would be helpful. But if not, then right now we've just got to build some kind of relationship and letting them know that you're not giving up on them. If they ever do respond, you know, I think I wouldn't lead with the apology necessarily. I would start by saying, you know, listen, I whenever you're ready to talk about it, we're ready to hear whatever it is that you need to say to us. You know, we're not going anywhere. I understand that you're frustrated. It's hard for you to, you know, figure out what to say to us, or you're not. I don't know if you're afraid we won't listen or what, but you know, we're here, as you've evidenced by, you know, continuing to text, continue to reach out to your wife as well. So when you're ready to talk about whatever it is that's getting in the way, you know, we're here to hear it. And you know, you just have to kind of keep that persistence up. And then, you know, obviously continuing to pray, I'm sure, as I'm sure you are, to our Lord, and asking for St. Monica's intercession as well. But I think, you know, between, you know, the prayers and the faithful reaching out to them in a non-threatening way, it lets them know that whenever they're ready to talk, you're there to listen.
I mean, it was funny because they live about 4 miles away. They sent us a Christmas card this summer, or I mean, this Christmas, saying that they're expecting and they're buying a house. When we reached out to say, hey, we'd love to hear more about it, the response was, well, we don't trust what you have to say to us. I mean, it's just absurd.
Well, I mean, clearly there's something there that they're not telling you about. So, I mean, I would, again, don't move right to the apology. At some point, when the opportunity presents itself, I would say, you know, clearly you're trying to tell us something, and clearly you feel like we haven't been willing to listen to you. I promise you that we're ready to hear whatever it is that you want to say whenever you're ready to say it. We love you very much, and we're not going anywhere. You know, send that message, and then keep texting the chatty things, like I said, both you and your wife on a regular basis, and hopefully the door will open up in time. Thank you, Ron.
Ron, thanks very, very much for the call. We appreciate it. The number is 888-318-7884. Dr. Greg Popchak and his wife, Lisa Popchak, host mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. They have a new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. It's from the Word Among Us Press. Your questions for Dr. Popchak about having those conversations are very welcome here. 888-318-7884. We're going now to Pat in Tennessee. Pat, you there with us?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Greg. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Thanks for the call.
I had a shocking conversation with my son in October where he told me he stopped believing in Christ, and it had been going on for a while. He said he didn't tell us because he thought he'd be lectured instead of listened to. And he was raised, you know, Catholic, homeschooled, went to a faithful Catholic college, so it was really shocking. He's 24. But then he told us that he's and did get engaged to marry a Catholic girl and wants a Catholic wedding. And, you know, I've been praying tremendously for him. He's out of state, so I can't, you know, meet him for lunch or anything to try to build a better relationship. I did apologize for, you know, the fact that he felt uncomfortable and that we didn't listen enough. But at this point, I'm just trying to figure out if I should say anything. I believe Christ is essential to marriage. I've been married over 40 years. I don't see how our marriage can work without Christ. And I'm getting mixed feedback from others about how much to say to him. At this point, I'm just trying to love him where he's at, but I also keep thinking about things I could say about marriage, but I also don't want to turn him off by lecturing.
Do you know the girl at all? Like, do you have any kind of relationship with his fiance?
No, he met her at college, and it's 9 hours away. And we did spend time with her. She seems absolutely wonderful. And she is the one insisting on a Catholic ceremony, a marriage ceremony. It's sort of surprising to us that she's agreeing to marry him when at this point he said it's been about a year or two that he's stopped believing in Christ and a God of love and mercy. And so I don't really know her other than we spent a week with her after he graduated.
This is Pat. Can you hold on a couple minutes? Because we got to just do a quick break and then we'll come back with Dr. Pupchak. Is that all right, Pat?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Hang on. Dr. Greg Pupchak is our guest. The number is 888-318-7884. Right back with more. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Pat in Tennessee is on the phone. Our guest is Dr. Greg Pupchak. We're talking about his new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available now from, what's the press again?
Word Among Us.
Word Among Us Press. And Pat's question has to do with her son, who raised Catholic and no longer believes in Christ, but intending to get married to a young woman who very much wants to have that Catholic wedding. Dr. Pupchak?
Yeah. So, Pat, let me ask. You said that they live 9 hours away and it's hard to build a relationship. What kind of contact do you have with him?
Not very much right now. While he was in school, while we were paying for school, we asked him to call us every Sunday, and he did faithfully every Sunday. And but he said he didn't feel comfortable telling us about the struggle he was having with his faith. So we didn't know about it until October after he graduated.
Did he ever say, I'm just curious, did he ever say, you said he doesn't believe in a loving, merciful God, that suggests to me that either something bad happened to him or somebody he cares about. Do you know what the background is there?
Yeah, I think there was some, when he first went to the school, he had, when I hear the details of what happened, one of the people there was really emotionally abusive. Mm-hmm. So I think he was hurt badly.
And he felt really alone and probably was praying and God didn't help him out. And so he's not sure he believes in God anymore. Is it?
Right. Right. Version? And then COVID didn't help. And he had some learning problems. So he lived alone. Okay. So
he's been through a lot in the last couple of years. And he's unsure how God fits into that.
Right.
So let me a couple of things here. I mean, one, I would really, you say that he used to call you every Sunday. Would he object to you, texting him on a, kind of regular basis, even a couple of times a week, giving him a call just to check on, not to tell him about not talk about the religion stuff or his wedding or anything, but just to talk about him and what his life's like and be chatty and that sort of thing? Would he object to any of that?
I do text him, just say, how are you doing? Things like that. He usually doesn't respond. He's working a lot of hours now. He's never been a guy that would get on the phone and chit chat for any length of time, other than he's a guy that, when he promised he'd call us every Sunday, he did. But now he's working a lot of hours. So I try to do that. I text him and I call him. Usually I don't get an answer.
All right. That's where you got to start, though. I think, and in terms of, how do you bring up these conversations? I mentioned in the book, this is a ballpark, right? So you got to kind of read the room. But one out of 10, maybe one out of 20 times, you bring up the serious topic. Hey, what's going on with this? Or even in his case, being able to say, look, it's pretty normal. It must have been really painful for you to go through that, but it's pretty normal to ask those kinds of questions. And it's not so much, a problem that you're struggling with this. In my mind, I think that it's God wanting to take you into a deeper relationship with him, but it's really hard to figure that out, especially when you're hurting, and not try to lecture him, but really try to understand more about where he's at with that. But like I said, that's maybe one out of 10, one out of 20 times. The other 10 to 20 times of just, chatty stuff about what's in the news, things that happen in your life. You can even text, little prayers. I think, Lord, help my son know how much I love him. Help my son know that you're there. And let him know how much you love him in spite of all of this. In our family, when something goes on, one of my adult kids might say, thus and such happened today, and we'll text a prayer back. Lord, please bless my son and help him to, and we'll pray for each other by text. And one of the points I make in the book is, we have a tendency to say to our kids, well, would you mind if I prayed for you about this? And then we make it a thing. I just really recommend making Jesus part of the conversation. So, I'm talking to my kid about something and they say they're having a hard time. Well, first I empathize with them and I'm really sorry you're going through that. Lord, please bless my son and help him with his job situation, or please bless my daughter and it's a 5-second thing, but then I go right back to the conversation. But they know that, the Lord is right part of that. So, as much as you can, keep up that texting relationship and there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, sometimes I really feel sad when you don't text back. It would really mean a lot to me if you'd at least respond to the things that I'm saying. Prompt him a little bit to build that relationship, because it's
right.
You're really describing a relationship that you feel deeply, and I'm sure he does too. But in terms of the conversations, they're not deep enough to have to contain the conversation you want to have here. So, going deeper there, I think also finding ways to reach out to this girl. Just in a chatty way, not in a friendly way, not to plot anything, but to build a relationship with her.
I've been afraid to where he'd feel like we were talking behind his back or something. So
I would even text him and say, hey, listen, I'm really liked meeting her, and I would really love to get to know her a little bit better. Is it okay if I reach out to her too? And just get his permission on that. But I think you want to build a relationship there. I always joke, it's like the joke about, or not the joke, but the Sun Tzu's thing about, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Well, keep your kid close and their boyfriend or girlfriend closer, right? So the more you can do to reach out to her, the better that is too. Just, to kind of build relationship. Okay. All right, Pat.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you. And there's more in the book, of course, as well.
God bless. thank you.
Thank you, Pat. 888-318-7884, the number here. Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest. His brand new book written with his wife, Lisa Popchak.
My life wife, yes.
Your life
wife. My wife for life.
Yeah. That wasn't a mistake. I meant to say that. The new book is called Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. You can get it wherever books are sold. They do still sell books. 888-318. It is amazing. Yeah, you probably could get there's probably electronic versions of it as well, huh?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, people, almost all publishers now, you got to do all the different versions. 888-318-7884. So the bridging the gap, you know, trying to get those deeper conversations, it does seem like the primary thing you've said. And listening to you talk to people, it's interesting to hear how you apply that in practical ways with folks, is about, you know, digging and preparing the ground so that, you know, this big tree can be planted and be healthy, this tree of a relationship with them. And that, and as you said, as they mature, the you know, the ground needs more preparation. So if I'm getting the metaphors correct, but go ahead.
And that's, and this is, from the previous caller, I think it's a good example. It's really important that we're cultivating that depth of relationship with our kids all while they're growing up. Cause we have a tendency to think that if they're not squeaking, then they don't need oil, just a statistic for you. You know, there was a study that came out just a year or two ago that found that most adult nuns, I don't mean N-U-N-S, I mean the adults who don't have a faith, N-O-N-E-S, most adult nuns lost their faith between the ages 11 and 13. But because so few Catholic parents actually have ongoing faith conversations with their kids growing up, we think that because they're going to church with us every week, everything's fine. And then the kids go to college and, they don't have to come with us anymore. And then they stop going to church and we think, oh, they lost their faith in college. No, they lost it 6 or 7 years before.
Right.
We just didn't know because we weren't having those discussions. We weren't having those conversations about how God impacts our daily life. We weren't really praying together as a family. We talked about God. We had God habits, but we didn't actually have conversations about how God was moving in our lives and how we as parents were dealing with the difficulties that we were encountering and how God showed up for that. And having those kinds of conversations as a family that really set the stage for the kinds of conversations that, for example, Pat wants to have with her son now. So, if you haven't done that before, then you need to start building all that now. If you're listening and you've got kids who are, younger, start having those conversations now so that you can have those discussions, make those discussions easier to have later on.
Again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I have to say something that you said in a conversation that we had probably years ago on the air here. What was very helpful to me in that regard, because one of the things that we can have, because as you just said, you don't know that at 11 the child lost her faith or his faith, and you can have terrible regret and beating yourself up about that later. And, one of the things you said to me on the air, I think, and I tried it with my children, was that you can say something like, I'm sorry about that, and I could have done a better job, but I'd like to do a good job now. If there's things you need now, I'd like to give them to. It really meant something to my children to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kids, on the show, I remember we had an 80-year-old caller, who wished that, their parents were still alive because, this caller desperately wanted, his dad's approval still. Our kids never stop wanting, relationship with us. Sometimes they can play hard to get. Sometimes they can be obnoxious, but they never stop wanting to know that we love them and want to listen to them and respect them. And so, just being able to go to them and say, I did do the best that I could with what I had at the time, but I'm learning new things, just like you are too. And I, you know, looking back on it, I wish I could have done this for you, and I didn't. But I'd sure love to give it to you now if you're open to it. And, you know, just being able to humanize ourselves—it's hard for kids to see their parents as real people too. Uh-huh. You know, at some point we kind of have to connect those dots for them and say, yeah, you know, I mean, I know you suspected I wasn't perfect, but I need you to know that I know it too.
I know. It's funny. It's a funny little contradiction or a conundrum of children is that they can tell you your faults and make your faults obvious to you and even be quite brutal in describing your faults. But they still haven't come to grips with the fact that you're a human being. It's like, well, thanks for all of that.
You're just a malevolent pagan deity.
I know, but do you know that every other person has those same exact faults that you just mentioned? I'm not the only person that, you know, occasionally, well, whatever. I want to let people, I want to remind folks right now, this month, we've got this 40 answers, 20 answers deal for you, 47 books in our 20 answers collection. You can get the whole collection for just over $1 a book and free shipping. 20 answers on all kinds of topics. 20 answers book on Jesus, a 20 answers book on prayer, a 20 answers book on pick your moral issue or pick your issue with, you know, other faith communities. All there, a great Catholic education in 47 books, each one of them with 20 answers in it. Each one just a little bit more than a dollar right now with free shipping at shop.catholic.com.
Hang on, we'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Want the latest pro-life news? Want it delivered? Sign up. It's free. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, your source for everything happening now in the fight to protect the sanctity of human life. New episodes delivered every week to your inbox. So if you really want to know,
sign up today.
Go to EWTN.com/pro-life today.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Hey, second hour, Carl is going to be here. We're going to talk about purgatory. And if you are one among many who, I don't buy it. I don't buy the whole purgatory thing. We'd love to hear from you and have conversations with you about it. Maybe you do buy it, but you need some help understanding it or explaining it. Second hour, all about purgatory with Carlo Broussard, who wrote the, literally wrote the book on purgatory. 888-318-7884, our number this hour, Dr. Greg Popchak with us. We're talking about the new book from Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. It's called Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. We all know that's what we want. A little help getting there. Didn't ever hurt anybody. We'll go now to Gene in Ohio. Gene, listening on the Alexa. Alexa, Gene, go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
Hi. I was just wondering, how do you turn your mind off, especially at night when you're trying to sleep and you wake up and you just think about all these things with your kids and what's going on? And, you know, you commit it to the Lord, but you pray about it and you pray about it. But then you still wake up thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, what about this? What about that? Are they okay? Did I do enough? Too much? What am I doing?
Are we talking about adult kids here? Or are we talking about littler ones? Because parents do both.
Adults. Yeah.
Adults, yeah.
Yeah.
And tell me, are there specific things you're concerned with, or is it just in general?
Some in general, but I have to tell you, the youngest, He is 25, and then we have all the way up to almost 40, mm-hmm. and there's been some challenges in their life, sure. such as, I don't want to go into it, but they do have different challenges, and I'm like, okay.
And you worry about them.
I need, yeah.
What kind of, I mean, how often do you talk with them? What kind of contact do you have?
We have, you know, pretty good, but then it's like
every day, every week, like just a sense of that.
No, like the daughter, she's in Indiana, and she unfortunately had a marriage breakup, and so then you just don't know, did I say too much, not enough, you know, and she's going through some things, and mm-hmm. then we have an adult son, there's a lot.
Well, no, the reason I asked how often you're in touch with them is because, mm-hmm. When we don't have connection or as much connection as we might like or might need, our brains tend to fill in the gaps, right? And so anxiety, and I talk about this actually in a different book I wrote called Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Anxiety is sort of what happens when our brain on the one hand says, I need to do something. And then immediately another part of our brain says, but there's nothing I can do. And then it goes, but I need to do something, but there's nothing I can do. But I need to do something, mm-hmm. but there's nothing I can do. And you just start to spin out at that point. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the reasons I asked about, you know, how often you talk with them, because if you have regular contact with them, you can sort of write down, well, what do I feel like God is asking me to bring up the next time I talk to them? Or what's the next thing, way I could reach out to be supportive to them? Or, you know, and if you know that you're going to talk to them tomorrow, because you always talk to them on, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. then that can help you kind of calm down a little bit. What I would suggest is that, you know, this anxiety that you're having is sort of an invitation to try to reach out a little bit more. And especially, you know, you were talking about your daughter who had the marriage breakup. You know, this is a very painful thing for her, and she's looking for support where she can get it. And this is an opportunity for you to say, you know, I don't really necessarily know exactly how to be here for you and what would be helpful, but I really want to be. And so, you know, is it okay if I just kind of text you every day, or is it okay if I give you a call every couple of days just to, you know, just to not necessarily, you know, do a deep thing, but just see how you're doing and chat, you know, the more, you know, being able to have that connection around just these little things, that's how the friendship is built. And that allows us to then have a clearer sense of, well, what can I do? What shouldn't I do? The only other thing I'll throw out here is in the book, Having Meaningful and Difficult Conversations, because you were talking about, you know, the sort of the guilt thing. Did I do enough? Did I do it wrong? We talk mm-hmm. about the difference between blame and responsibility. You know, we tend to conflate the two and think they mean the same thing. But blame is where I sort of sit there and say, oh, I screwed up. Clearly, I didn't give them enough of this, or I did that wrong, or they're mad at me about the other thing, and I'm a terrible parent, or whatever. That's blame, and that's really from the devil, because it doesn't point us in any kind of healthy direction. You know, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, even when he's convicting us for doing something wrong, he immediately points us to what we need to do instead. But when we're stuck in that powerless, you know, place, that's a temptation from Satan. So responsibility instead is our ability to respond in a productive way to something, in a way that brings out the best in people. So my prayer, especially with my adult kids, is, Lord, help me know how to respond to them in ways that bring out the best in them. Help me to be my best and to respond to them in ways that bring out the best in them. So I'd like you to make that your prayer as well at night. So when you go to bed, you know, if you're thinking about them, ask yourself, well, what's one small way I could reach out to them and kind of make a plan for connecting with them about whatever. But in general, make that your prayer of how can I respond to them in ways, teach me to respond to them in ways that will bring out the best in them and in me as well.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Right.
Well, there you go.
Thanks, okay. Jean.
Thanks, Jean.
Thank you. Okay.
God bless you.
All right. that's very pleasant to hear a conversation like that. Well, let me try to get as many as I can on here with Dr. Greg Popcheck before we have to go. Let's go to Mike in, I'm going to guess that the call screener means Missouri, listening on 690 AM. Was that right, Mike?
I didn't hear where you said I was from. I'm in Waveland, Mississippi, and
yeah, that's
I listen to Catholic Community Radio.
Okay. All right. I thought Mississippi. Yeah. Okay, Mississippi. Great. Mike, go ahead with your question for Dr. Popchak.
I have three adult children. Only one of the three continues to practice her faith. I have a 44-year-old daughter who's single and a 40-year-old son who's married with a young boy. And I've addressed this matter with them repeatedly with an alarming lack of success in terms of falling away from the faith. And I'm obviously not doing it right because I haven't made any headway. But I'm just, what I'd like to do is get them to read, for instance, this book that you just put out. Mm-hmm. And say, well, how about reading that and see? I've apologized to both of them. I've admitted my lack of effectiveness in bringing them up as mm-hmm. Catholics. I mean, they are both cradle Catholics, and they both went through religious parish
sure.
religion. But when they reached the 11th grade, when they could have been confirmed, neither wanted to be confirmed then.
The book is really for the parents. I mean, because it's a parenting book, right? So I would say that if you're interested in the book at all, I would start by you reading it, because it really talks more about how you can reach out to them and start bridging those gaps. But in terms of, how do you begin to have conversations with them about it? I think the best thing to do for parents in your situation is not so much to talk to them about their faith, but two things. Number one, when they talk to you, let's say they talk about, they had a rough day the other day because thus and such happened at work, or the kid was driving them crazy, or whatever it was. First you empathize with them. I'm really sorry that you went through that, and I wish I could be there for you to help you out with thus and such, or I wish I could make that all better for you. Really frustrating as a parent to not be able to just make all these things go away for my kids. Lord, please bless my daughter and help her to know how much I love her, and please guide her in ways that I can't be there for her, and let her know that you love her. By the way, what's going on tomorrow? Right? So you see what I did there? I empathized with them. I let them know my real heart. It's not a technique, all right? I'm not suggesting this as, but you're really showing your heart and wishing that you could be there and expressing that. You're bringing Christ right into the middle of the conversation as if he was right there, present and part of the discussion, because guess what, he is, and you're acknowledging him through that little prayer, and then you're moving right on. So that's one way we witness to our kids. The other way is when, they talk to us about something that they're going through, and we say, I really get it, because I remember when thus and such happened to me, and, now for me, I had a turn to God in that, and he really showed up for me in these ways. I'm not sure what do you do? Whenever you're feeling that alone, and do you ever reach out to God, or what do you reach out to at those points? And maybe they say, Dad, I don't know. That's you, that's not me, and that's fine. But you've opened the door because you're talking about your experience. You're talking about your faith. You're talking about how God shows up for you. You have a couple of dozen of those conversations where you're describing how God really is showing up for you in your life and how he's been there for you in the past. You're witnessing in a very non-threatening way, because you're not telling them what they should believe. You're not telling them what they should think. You're showing them how God has shown up for you, and at least makes them think, maybe there's something I'm missing. I wish I had the faith that Dad had, even if they can't connect it, at least they're starting to think about it. So I think those two things off the top of my head are where I would start. And I do describe other ways to have these kinds of discussions and start bringing up faith issues in a non-threatening way, in having meaningful and sometimes difficult conversations with your adult sons and daughters. So check that out as a follow-up.
Follow-up question on the Word Among Us Press. Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the outset of the conversation this evening that you and Lisa have books that go from
infancy through adulthood.
To,
yeah,
mm-hmm. To this. Are all those on the Word Among Us Press as well?
No. So all of our titles are available at CatholicCounselors.com, which is our main website. So we publish with several different publishers. So if you're interested in the other books, other titles, you can get this one as well as all of our titles at CatholicCounselors.com.
Thanks, Mike in Mississippi. Thank you very, very much. I especially like you ending this hour of the show with a question that allows us to give a little plug, because that's what...
Checks in the mail, Mike. Thank you.
Having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with our adult sons and daughters out now, from Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Dr. Popcheck, really and truly, I am a big fan of your work. I am so happy that in Catholic media, we have someone mixing faith and reason in such a helpful, practical way for people.
Well, thank you, Simon. I really respect what you do, too, and thanks for allowing me to be here today.
Well, thank you. And all right, coming up next, Carlo Broussard. I can see him out there. He's ready to go. He's ready to talk about purgatory. You know you got questions about purgatory. Maybe you even have objections to purgatory. It's all welcome. We're going to have a full hour to talk about purgatory with Carlo Broussard, the author of Purgatory is for Real, right here on Catholic Answers Live, right after this.